The principle which gives life, undying and eternally beneficent, is perceived by him who desires perception. As the clouds are dispelled by the rising sun, so do many things become clear before the growing light of spiritual knowledge. A great initial difficulty is to discern between the lawful and the unlawful, to find the precise boundary between the selfish and the unselfish. Many things which are amongst the lawful nevertheless seem to be also amongst the selfish. Even the first move, the initial devotion to spiritual studies, has been stigmatized as selfish, and therefore tainting all that follows. Doubtless, it is a difficult task to choose between the sweet and bitter fruit on the tree of knowledge, but still some light may be thrown on the choice. Let us go back to what is logically, though not perhaps chronologically, the first step in religious consciousness. Religion began, says one of the most discerning students of Christianity, when the first man obeyed the deeper law in his heart, which prompted him to restrain his tendency to selfishness and sensuality, to subordinate them to his higher nature, to sacrifice the ephemeral to the durable. The recognition of the earliest whisper of religious consciousness, he considers the characteristic of Israel, and Israel's mission and place in world history is, in his view, the assertion of this intuition. Israel, he says, felt the moral law more vividly and obeyed it more faithfully than other nations, and Israel's testimony on the subject is among the most precious of the world's possessions. These views are clear and intelligible, and if we examine the record of Israel's religious consciousness, they will appear of great weight. The essence of religion is antithesis, opposition between two great forces, powers, or qualities. The quality of the terms of the antithesis gives us a clue to the phase of religious consciousness. Israel's antithesis was between the law of the eternal and the way of sinners. Further examination shows that the second term meant for Israel the various phases of selfishness and sensuality, of the instincts of self-preservation and reproduction. Opposed to these, Israel felt another force, the law of the eternal. If an adherence to this law and a consequent change of the tendency of life followed its recognition, Israel experienced as the result a feeling of completeness, strength, and happiness. He found that after introducing this new factor into his consciousness, he was able to rejoice and shout for joy. But the recognition of the eternal which makes for righteousness, whose earliest manifestation is the voice of conscience, is not merely the introduction of a new factor. It is a complete alteration of the event of life, of the purpose of existence. Formerly, the life was lived for pleasure, for the gratification of egotism, for the satisfaction of desire. Now it is lived for the Lord, for holiness, for the eternal that makes for righteousness.